My exhortation topic this morning, I was thinking of a title, and I think I have a couple of titles. One is Growing in the Lord, or Desiring the Lord, Hungering for the Lord. And my prayer is to stir up your hearts, that we may desire the Lord more. Look at the possibility of actually not growing in the Lord. I think we can be Christians that are not growing. That's possible. And then we'll look at the possibility of, or how it's not guaranteed that because we are not growing now, we will be growing in the future. So it's not guaranteed. We must actively seek it. And we'll finally look at the conditions for growth and indications for growth. Let's go to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, 11 to 14. And this is our first point, the possibility of not growing in Christ as Christians. I'll read. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Now, brethren, if you are familiar with this text, and we will not have time to go through it, but all of Hebrews just talks about the supremacy of Christ. Him as our high priest, you know, the privilege, how we are invited in front of God because of him. And as the author is writing, we will not read the previous verses, but he has to stop himself at verse 11. He says, about this we have much to say. And it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. This verse stirs my heart every time I read it, brethren. I do not want God to say to me that he had much to say to me, but he can't because I've become dull of hearing. And that's why I wanted to share this, to show that it is possible to be dull of hearing. It seemed that they had been listening before, but now they are not. And verse 12, he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Now, something I want to clarify, there is nothing wrong with being a child in the Lord. There's nothing wrong at all. It is only wrong when we're expected to grow and are not growing. And that is very possible, as we see in these verses. And then he says also, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. Now, this does not mean that we will ever get to a point where we do not need to be taught. We will always need to be taught. But the problem here is that they had to be taught again. And if you read the following verses that we will not read, is he's repeating. They seem to have forgotten. Their ears seem to have grown dull. And one thing that I want us to notice here is it's not just the ears that grow dull. It's our heart. What happens when you do not want to listen to someone? What happens when you're closing your ears to someone? That's because you do not want to believe what they're saying. You've closed off your heart. You can't just close your ears and open your heart. So let us have our hearts open to the Lord, brethren. And we'll go to another similar text in 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it, and even now you are not ready. Now, here, similar words are used. Milk, solid food. Verse 1, as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. Again, nothing wrong with being an infant in Christ. The problem is when growth is expected, but we are not growing. Verse 2, I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you are not ready for it, and even now you are not ready for it. Now, I want you guys to pay attention to verse 2 when Paul says, I fed you with milk, not solid food. And at the end of verse 1, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. So, Paul had first given them milk when he desired to give them solid food. And then at the end of verse 2, for you were not ready for it. They were not the first time, and even now you are not ready for it. So the first time they were not ready, and the second time they are not ready. And why did I go to this verse? To show that it's not guaranteed that because you were not ready in the past, you're going to be ready in the future. Now, I just wanted to show this, and then we're going to spend most of our time in Matthew. Go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I think if you have a red letter Bible, these are words from Christ himself. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. But who is our righteousness, brethren? Christ. So you can replace the word righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for Christ, for they shall be satisfied. And I hope to encourage everyone to thirst and hunger for the Lord and not be satisfied by anything else. And I like that the Lord uses words we're very familiar with. He uses the word hunger and thirst. Now, I wanted to oppose this verse with the ones we first read. I think we can all agree that the Hebrews were not hungering and thirsting for the Lord because what? Their heart had grown dull. Now, these are the conditions of growth. This is what tells us that we're growing. Are we hungry and thirsty for the Lord? And if we're not, I hope that we're encouraged this morning to seek the reality of these verses. I would like to look closely at the words the Lord uses, hunger and thirst, in the physical realm. If you're hungry or thirsty, you know that you are. And if you do not, it does not take too long. I think maybe most of us or some of us this morning are not feeling hungry right now, but in a few hours, all of us will be hungry, or most of us. And if you don't get hungry, even for a day, if you pass a whole day without feeling hunger, when you have not eaten, could we all say that there is something wrong with your body? And it is the same thing spiritually, and that's why I like the Lord, because He uses things we understand, words we understand. Spiritually speaking, we should be hungry and thirsty for the Lord. And if we are not, there is something wrong, something seriously wrong. Thirst and hunger are physical needs. You do not have to create them in you. I can't just decide right now, I'm going to decide to get hungry. No, I don't. My body is going to tell me. Now, spiritually speaking, if we've been born of God, that thirst and hunger is going to be there. The Lord does not tell us to make yourself hungry, make yourself thirsty for me. It's His Spirit in us that makes us hungry and thirsty for Him. Now, there is something, a reality that I want us to note in the physical sense and in the spiritual sense. Now, we all get hungry, naturally speaking, but do we feed on foods that are going to help our physical needs? Do we drink drinks that are actually going to satisfy our thirst in the right way? No, we all know it. You know, you can, I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but I love fries, you know. So I get hungry, and if there are fries, I'm going to eat fries. Some fries are healthier than others, but, you know, they're not the best food, naturally speaking. Now, spiritually, we can also kill our appetite, our thirst for the Lord, if we feed on other things. They're not good for us. Now, my aim this morning, brethren, is to encourage you all not to allow yourself to curb your appetite, to quench your thirst by anything else other than the Lord Himself. It's very possible that we can be children of God and feed on things that are not Christ Himself. And those things will kill our appetite. And if they don't, they give the appearance of filling our thirst for Christ, but they do not truly fill us, satisfy us. And I thought of the sin that the Lord charged with Israel. You know, He said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Now, you may ask, and I ask myself, well, if they hewn for themselves cisterns that can hold no water, why did they not come back? Because in the natural sense, if you're hungry, if somebody gives you an empty bottle, you're gonna stay thirsty. But there is a word that's very important that the Lord chooses to use. He said, "Fountain of living waters." There are other waters that are not living waters, brethren. And so their cisterns that they had hewn had water, but there were no living waters. Who is our living water, brethren? Christ. Christ Himself. And I think as Christians, we are not in the danger. I'll speak for myself, but I think you guys can relate. Our danger is to be satisfied with good things. You can read the Bible and not have the presence of Christ, but feel okay about it. You can pray, not have your prayers answered, not commune with the Lord, but feel okay with it. Brethren, let us not be satisfied by even the good things. Let us not be satisfied by coming here and meeting. If the Lord will not meet us, let us not be satisfied. And we have a promise. He said that if we're thirsty and hungry, He will satisfy us. Now, in conclusion, I've prepared some questions that I pray can help us think. I pray it will create a greater thirst in us. And the Lord Himself has promised, I pray that we do not be satisfied by nothing less. I'll read the questions I have, and I want you to think about them, you personally, and us as a church. Now, when you come here on Sunday, are you satisfied by having come to church and having heard someone preach? Or do you come to meet God? Do you have an expectation to meet God? Do you pray for the preacher that God might speak through him? Do you pray for other brethren that they may be ready to receive the word? Do you pray for your own heart to be ready to see God? Does it bother you if God does not meet his people? What about in your place of prayer? Do you have the presence of God? If you do, protect it at all costs. And if you don't, examine yourself. What other cisterns are you drinking from? What is it that is quenching your thirst for the Lord? How is your love for the church? You know what was said about our Lord, zeal for your house will consume me. Are you consumed by the glory of God? How concerned are you about the masses going to hell? Are you unmoved? Do you remember the broken heart of our Lord over Jerusalem because they will not let him save them? What about the great sorrow of the Apostle Paul for his brethren according to the flesh? Are you grieved that the world is going to hell and we have the cure for them? How concerned are you about the spiritual welfare of the church? We do not have time to go there, but Paul gives a testimony of a man, his name is Epaphras, who was concerned about the church. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature, fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Brethren, are we struggling for one another? Could the same thing be said of us, that we're always struggling on the behalf of the church, that we may stand mature? Do we only pray for others on Wednesdays or on Sundays? Does the burden go with us during the week? Paul says he has worked hard for you. Are we working hard for one another? Brethren, we all need this. This is not me preaching at you. We all need to pray for one another. He gives another testimony about Timothy. For I have no one like Timothy, he's telling the Philippians, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare, for they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Could the same thing? I thought of myself, when I read of this verse, I thought of myself being with Paul. Could Paul have said this of me? For I have no one like Prince. I have no one like David. I have no one like Evan. I have no one. Fill in your name. I have no one like him, like her, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Christ. Let us seek the interests of Christ and His church. Brethren, I'd like to conclude by thinking of Jacob. We all know Jacob. We all know how he wrestled with God. He refused to let him go until he had blessed him. Brethren, we need God. There are many things that can kill appetite for Him. Let us refuse, brethren. Don't be filled by anything else. Don't be filled even by good things. You know you can leave your sins, but not thirst for the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we are your children. We desire Christ, Lord. Give him to us. Father, in greater ways, we want to know Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.